The EP Podcast, heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com.
Sitting down here at the 9-foot homemade oak bar, we have two women who have been in the news recently. And I want to say, first of all, thank you for reaching out to me, because I'm reading the article about the people who will now be in charge next year over at Central Middle School. And they're reaching out to me in an email going, hey, we'd love to come on the podcast and introduce ourselves. And I'm like, you beat me to the punch. So we have the newly appointed principal and associate principal for CMS, the principal, Dr. Jenna Moeller. How are you, Jenna?
Hi, doing well today. How are you?
Good. And Christina Lavin is here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And you go by Chris just like I go by Chris.
Yeah, I go by Chris. My family calls me Chrissy, so whatever's more appropriate is okay.
Sounds good. I love it. You know, I actually, for years when I first got into radio, was so frustrated that I couldn't get my own .com. I couldn't get ChrisLanuti.com. And I was like, who is this person who has this? This is a very unique name. And it turned out it was my Aunt Christine. Doing some sort of license plate thing online and had taken the name. And I'm complaining about it at a party. She's like, that's me. I'm like, your name's Christine. You don't get Chris. Mm-hmm. Like it was a whole to do. But otherwise, let's get back to you guys. It's much more important.
Wait, the real question is, so did you ask her to give up rights to her website?
She wouldn't give it up.
Oh.
And then she made a mistake and like missed a payment on it and it became available and I stole it from her. So I have it now.
You snooze, you lose.
All right.
All right, so this episode of the EP Podcast brought to you by the First National Bank of Evergreen Park. They invest in the EP community. After all, they love this area as much as you do. Plus, with their total access checking account, you get free ATMs nationwide and a $300 bonus with qualifying activities. Those free ATMs come in handy. I was in Louisville this past weekend. Show's slightly delayed in its release on Tuesday because I was kind of swamped getting back into town doing the last college visit with my 18-year-old who went to Louisville to decide on the University of Illinois. Sorry, Louisville. But I had to stop at an ATM in Louisville, grab some cash. It's definitely not a First National Bank of Evergreen Park ATM. They put the fee back into my account, so the ATM was free. Stop it and see the friendly people over there for everything from CDs to accounts for your kids and even the account that I'm talking about right here in that iconic building at 95th and Pulaski. The First National Bank of Evergreen Park, member FDIC. Okay, I'm going to get to the big question right off the bat. I saw the news story. I saw the CMS was getting another principal and that things were changing again. It feels like I've had this interview a couple times over the last 6 years with a different person in your seats. And my first reaction was, oh no, I met Joe Zampillo. He was like, I'm going in there. I got all these plans. And now he's leaving. And I'm like, the plans didn't work. Something's wrong. That's why you're in here. That isn't the case, though, right?
No. So our colleague, Dr. Joe Zampillo, he's wonderful. And he is actually shifting to a new role, actually at his alma mater. So he feels like this is a good place for him. He went there. He wants to go back to his roots. And so this was just a choice that he had to make for him. And
that happens to everybody who's got an alma mater, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like that happens to college basketball coaches. And if I were a professional baseball player and was a free agent and the White Sox offered me less money, I don't care how bad they are. I'm going and playing because that's my team, right? So I get that. I understand that. So now you have both been there for a while, right, at CMS? You're not new there.
So this is my first year as an assistant principal there, but okay. Lavin has been
This was my
in our district for a while.
Fifth year, started a PE teacher, then taught health, and then I was lucky enough to be in the assistant principal role. So I just love it at Central. I love it. Mm-hmm. So nowhere else I'd like to be right now.
So things are going well over there then? This is not something's wrong. That's why we're changing. Things are going well. Like, why don't you let people in on the positives, the good things that are happening over at CMS right now as you're taking over?
Sure. So this change has actually been so great because it actually gives us the opportunity to do a little shifting around with our admin structure. So currently this year, we have one principal, two assistant principals. I focus on curriculum, instruction, professional learning, and my counterpart, Lavin, focuses on...
I do SEL, discipline, PBIS, and a whole bunch of things. Sometimes it's the fun stuff.
What is PBIS?
it's the supports we put in place to help support the students. Okay. So whether it's discipline or just more educational supports, we do whatever we can to help our students, which is great. So, and this year, just to put a little plug in, we do live school, which is positive incentive points for students to earn points throughout the day based on behavior and things they're doing awesome, and they can shop at our live school store. And it's no charge to them. We just purchase things through the school, and they could get chips and candy, fidgets, and all sorts of things. For it's just incentive-based, which is awesome.
Yep. So it gave us the opportunity to really be responsive to the needs of staff, students, mm-hmm. and the community. And so we're restructuring a little bit. So I'll be shifting into the principal role, and my focus will still be really curriculum, instruction, professional learning, working with the coaches, and driving change from that leadership role.
Stuff I would expect the principal to be
doing.
Yes,
okay, yes. And then Lavin.
You'll be principaling.
Yes, I'll be principaling. Yeah, okay. I like that as a verb. That's good. That's a good one. I'll use that next year.
Principaling.
And then Lavin and I will still work closely together, and her role will still really be focused on the positive behavioral intervention supports, SEL, and discipline.
And discipline, but it's working alongside with our staff to make sure they're getting everything they need to be successful in the classroom.
I heard a rumor you guys were thinking about getting deans, like a high school.
We
is that something you're doing?
Yes, and then...
So exciting.
So, which I think is cool. Like, here's why I thought that was neat when I heard it. You have four, like, grammar schools mm-hmm. that combine into one middle school.
Yes.
And even though it's not 4 years of students, it's three. It's pretty close to high school. You've got people that are, you got kids that are coming from four different places. They've already got set friends. They've already got set ways. They came from different schools, different administrations. I know D124 tries to make everybody work together and everything, but now you've got them all basically into this melting pot, and they're at an age where, you know, it would be a good idea to maybe have a couple of deans around the school like you would have in high school. So to me, I thought stupidly, I was just like, oh yeah, well, that would make sense. They probably have that. This is something new. You're going to have two different deans.
Yes. So then Chris will oversee the two deans, and then I'll oversee everything, but we'll have two deans, and their focus really will be managing like day-to-day student discipline issues, but they'll also be really working closely with teachers to drive those restorative conversations. So to really host those more reflective conversations so students can really identify and reflect on, okay, well, what did I do in that situation that caused someone else harm? And what did someone do to cause me harm? And what can I do differently next time? So we really, with the more support staff we have, we'll be able to really drive change through reflection and that restoration lens, which I'm really excited about.
How is CMS doing right now as a feeder into the high school? I'm sure you get feedback from the mm-hmm. high school, from Evergreen Park High, because the majority of those kids are moving on to there. They may change. They may go to one of the private schools, but the majority of those kids are feeding into EPCHS. So I'm sure you get feedback. Mm-hmm. We're like, hey, they're doing really well at this. Yeah. Or, hey, can you concentrate on this? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I actually just had a conversation. So one of our current science teachers actually student taught at EP High School last semester. And I was just talking to her on Friday, and she was telling me that before she came here, everyone was talking just about how well CMS prepares the students for Evergreen Park High School. And I just thought that was really positive. And obviously, Chris could talk more about the behavior and things like that. But academically, it seems like, based on the feedback we've got from the director of curriculum over there, that we're doing a really good job preparing them for what they'll need when they go over there to the high school in terms of managing their assignments, engaging in class, engaging in those discussions, and really being ready for the rigor.
Awesome. So it sounds like you already have this kind of rapport with each other because you've worked closely with each other over the last year. Do you think you'll be anything different in the relationship now? Like one's principal, one's assistant principal, new roles, everything like that? Are you guys going to, you think you're just going to click here and just kind of hit the ground running? And
basically we'll hit the ground running, because first we have great support from our district office and the school board. But we have a great, great staff. We have great staff. Our community is great. Our students are great. So there's only positive that can come forth. We just appreciate all the support, but we are preparing our kids for the future, just ideas of what we can do. Jen and I mean, there's days we laugh and there's days we do the thumbs down to each other. But it's a lot of laughing, because that's all you can do sometimes is laugh. But we have a great rapport, and we're doing what's best for our staff, students, and community. So I'm really excited about next year. Yeah, lots of laughs, like we really do.
I feel like when I started doing this 6 years ago, and the EP podcast here in May, it'll be 6 years since I founded the podcast network, and I think the first show came out late in the summer. But, I mean, we're coming up on 6 years, and I believe when I first started, the conversations when I would talk to somebody over at CMS were a little different. It was more stressful over there. It seemed like there was more of a stigma about the middle school, but it also seems like it's been very positive, especially in recent years. What do you guys think led to that change? And how much more needs to be done, do you think?
I mean, there's always things that can be done, but I think what we, you know, like we said before, with our staff, with our community behind us, I don't think there's we can do anything's possible. Like we're very positive. So having that rapport with the staff and the community and the students, building positive relationships is huge.
Have you heard good things lately? Like people are like, hey, things are different here. Are you starting to get that buzz?
Yeah, we have. We've gotten some great support from the parents, which is huge. Our staff is very welcoming. Like I can't say good things enough about them. Our kids are always good morning, how are you? Asking that, you know, you just have great conversations.
They look happy when I drive down 94th Street to see them.
Yeah. I don't know if they're out of school, if they're happy, or they're coming to school. If they're going to Pappy's, are they happy, or where are they going? But we really have good things are moving in the right direction, we feel. So it can only go up from here, I feel.
I was noticing there's an awful lot of doctors. You got Dr. Jenna Woodland, you're a doctor. I mean, mm-hmm. Dr. Zampillo, there's a lot of doctors running around there.
Are you calling Dr. Carlson?
a lot of doctors over there. You know, do you walk around, you do the doctor? Like, do you do that a lot when you're in the hallway or no?
I refer to myself as professor sometimes just to be
you got to do something to keep up with them all, right?
You are getting at a good point, though, is I do feel part of what drew me to this place and this community is just that we have so many really intelligent, experienced, just high quality leaders and staff members.
It's a high level education. Uh-huh.
And so
system,
I really do feel really grateful to learn and grow with them. And I feel like, obviously this will be my first time in a principal role and there's really nowhere else that I would want to do that with, like do this work with, just because I know that I probably will make mistakes, but I know that they will be, I will be responded with grace and support as opposed to feeling like, ugh, you know, yeah, if that makes sense.
I think, you know, like I've spoken to a lot of principals. It's your first principal role. And I would tell you that what I seem to glean off all of them, I've talked to grammar school principals and high school principals. If I think about it, we've had probably more than 10 principals sit down mm-hmm. here in the last 6 years from different schools in the area. And I talked to a lot of them during the troubles of the early part of this decade. And I felt like they all went back to the idea of, okay, well, in even the worst moments, what's the best thing for the kids? Even if it upsets somebody else,
right?
What's the best thing for the kids? I would imagine that's also something that's part of your mindset.
Yeah, I would say that part of our success too this year is that we are really student-centered. And with that, we are also staff-centered because we know when staff feel supported, when we build their capacity, they can be their best selves for the students. And then the students are in an environment where their teacher feels like they have the capacity to give a high-quality lesson. They have the capacity to unpack this high-level, aligned-to-standards curriculum. They know how to handle when they ask a student to sit in their seat and the student says no. So like equipping them with the knowledge and skills that they need to be successful. So then the students, again, are in a classroom where they have a good connection with their peers. They have a good connection with their teacher. They know that people in the building see them, hear them, love them, care about them so that they can learn and grow and take risks. So I really do think that leads to our success currently. And we're going to continue, obviously, doing that. So
I appreciate you both stopping by. I really do. I know at the very beginning of the interview, I was trying to figure out what I would refer to you as, Christina.
Professor.
And the thing that I did not catch was just call her by her last name because she was a gym teacher. Like, I mean, yeah, like...
Yeah, laughing at
the Jenna just went with the Jenna one option I did not have down here at my end. Okay? But Christina Lavin and Dr. Jenna Moeller, both of you, good luck next year. Do you take over officially once this year ends and the summer begins? Is that how this is going to work?
Yeah, and then we'll slowly be transitioning towards the end of the year. So I was just telling Lavin, Chris, Chrissy, whatever we want to call her today. I was just telling her on the way over here because she so kindly drove me here that I sent my email out to schedule. We're going to do listening and learning, like meetings with all of the teams to guide our school improvement work for next year. So some of it will start towards the tail end of this year, but we'll officially officially step in for next school year.
Do you have something? Do you have something that, like, you've been sitting around saying, if I were in charge of this place, I would do this, that you're ready to do?
I feel like, you know what? It's interesting you say that, because at an earlier meeting this year, actually with Dr. Woodland, I was telling her that I was kind of feeling in a limbo place because I do oversee currently all the curriculum instruction assessment, but I was still feeling like, okay, do I have like the position or the ability to kind of, you know, lead some stuff? And she did tell me that, like, we are in positions where we can lead and drive change. So once she told me that, I kind of just was like, all right, you said it. So, like, now I'm going for it. So yes, but I feel like through the process, we've just been trying when we see something to try to just change it and work together. Yeah. So
very cool. Well, District 124 and CMS, it sounds like things are going very well over there, and it's going to be a little bit of a change, but it sounds like just another positive thing that's happening over at Central Middle School. And good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things that Country Financial stands for. They're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through Evergreen Park. They're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of your community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. And since Country is already your neighbor, they want to get together and chat. Call your local Country Financial representative, Mike Thauer, today at 708-425-1559 to talk about the things that are important to you and how he can help you protect them. Your EP podcast, Word on the Street, brought to you by SidSauce.net. SidSauce is the only hot sauce I keep in my house and down here at the 9-Foot Homemade Oak Bar. The peppers grown in Evergreen Park and the sauces are delivered to your door for free. They got something for every taste. Check them out at SidSauce.net. Celebrate Earth Day and give back to the parks that make Evergreen Park a great place to live. Residents, businesses, and organizations are welcome to join the EP on April 13th from 10 to 11 a.m. at Yukich Field. It's an Earth Day park cleanup. Mark that down on your calendar. Seniors, there's a DMV just for you. Walk-in seniors only DMV center at the Bridgeview Community Center at 7900 South Okito Avenue. It's available to you EP seniors. It offers driver and motor vehicle services, including driving test. Visit the Illinois Secretary of State website for more information or call them at 800-252-8980 and press option 2. And the Village of Evergreen Park's Rec Department is having a magic class at the Community Center for kids age 5 to 12. It's April 2nd, 6:45 until 7:40 p.m. If you've been to one of these classes before, don't worry. New tricks are taught at every session. It's a $22 fee, 3450 West 97th Street. For more information, call 708-229-3373. Now we're going to head out to Spoken Vine, another Eating Evergreen Park segment, as we check in with one of the newer businesses in the EP and see how they've been doing 7 months in to a new wine bar in Evergreen Park. We're on the northeast corner of 95th and Kedzie at Spoken Vine with Reed and Bridget, who we've met many times on this show before. And about 7 months ago, you opened up Spoken Vine. How has it been so far, Reed?
It's been going great. We've been getting really good response from the neighborhood. We keep getting busier and busier. We've been doing a lot of really fun events that have been getting a lot of new people in here. We're really excited about it.
You got really good food. I know Bridget works on that. That's her main thing. I'm going to talk about that with you here in a moment. But let's talk about the wine first, because you're the guy that's behind the bar. You're serving the wines. You got the reds. You got the whites. You got all these new ones coming in constantly. And I'm sure you had a passion for wine, but you probably have learned more, I would imagine, since being back there. Like, you have to prep yourself to be able to answer questions, because people come in and they have questions about the wine. So how much have you learned about wine in the last 7 months?
I feel like I've learned a lot about wine in the last 7 months. It's it's a lot to take in, because you're trying to take on the entire world of wine at one time. Now, I'm not a master sommelier by any means, but I feel like I'm well on my way.
The fact that you know how to say that word already, I could tell you're better at wine than me.
About half the time it comes out. So, but yeah, you just get better and better at it every day, and we plan on doing this for years, so we should be a master one day, but we're always getting better.
So I've sat here a couple of nights already, many nights actually, and watched you work at the bar. I'm a bar guy, you know that.
Yeah.
Like, I come in, like, if I have to sit at a table, all right, but I like to go belly up to the bar. I like to even have my meal at the bar sometimes. I like the camaraderie, the talking to people. I've always loved that kind of thing. So I've listened to you talk wine with people, and people all have a different taste for wine when they come in. Like, I remember I looked at you at one point and I was like, don't give me any Merlot. And you're like, what? I'm like, I hate Merlot. And then you found one that I really liked that was a French one. And you're like, this is different from the California ones. What have you learned about people's taste? Like, are there certain types of wine people like more in this area than others?
So the one thing I've actually learned is I think a lot of people dislike a lot of wine because they've only had a bad version of it. You know, like, when you went to grandma's house, she had the little bottle of Chianti that was terrible, and you've never tried a Chianti ever since. But when we have, by having so many options available and really listening to the styles that people enjoy, sometimes we find that there's more that they will like, as long as you're willing to explore it. So that's why we have little pours on everything, so you can try as many as you would like.
Yeah, and just to give everybody an idea, especially if you're watching the video of this, because there's the audio version on the podcast and then the video will come out if you want to actually see us sitting around. There's a reason why we're sitting in here on your off hour, because, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that we're doing that. You guys are getting ready for another big night here. You're busy. You've got a lot of people that are kind of coming through this place. And, you know, you're hustling in the kitchen, too. I remember when you told me when you were starting this thing, Bridget, that, you know, you were going to be running the kitchen in there. And I thought to myself, I looked around and I was like, well, I can't handle that many people that I got to cook for. What have you learned in the last 7 months?
I learned that people love carrots, even if they didn't think they love carrots.
What do you have that has carrots that people love?
We have a Burberry spiced carrot dish that's over whipped feta. They're glazed with honey. It's the perfect balance of, like, sweet, spicy, smoky, tangy. There's candied nuts over top, so, like, a little bit of crunchiness too. But, you know, people that are willing to try new things. The same thing with the wine. Like, if you're willing to go out and be like, okay, that sounds good, the people next to you are going to be like, did you get the carrots yet?
That's how I ended up with the bacon wrap dates. That was one of them that I really, I got into that. I just asked you when we were setting up, I was like, those are staying on the menu, right? You're like, yep, you love those. The meatballs here are great, but you're finding new things that people like. How do you find what people like, and how do you determine, as a new restaurant, new wine bar, how do you determine what people don't like? Even if it was something you were like, oh, I want this on my menu, and then you're like, they're not responding to this, they're responding to that. Take me through that process. What is that like for you?
Sure. So what I wanted to have was, like, a kind of a smattering of all different types of things, right? I mean, we're not a steakhouse. We're not an Italian restaurant where it's going to be very classic entrees and you know what you're getting. So, like, I wanted you to be able to come in and everybody at the table be able to get something that they like and maybe, like, you know, pick around from what everybody else ordered. Doing the events that we have every month, the wine tastings, I actually do fresh menu items for those wine tastings to pair with the wines. So, like, past couple months, we do one a month. There's six wines, and then I'm pairing six new dishes. And it's a small tasting portion of it, but that's where the carrots got launched, right? I needed a vegetarian option. I ran with that. It went over fantastically. So we added them to the menu.
So it comes from the wine tastings a lot of ways. You're coming up with something to pair, and then you're getting a response from it, and you're saying, oh, this should be on the menu. Normally, how often do those wine tastings take place? How do people come in and do that? Because I know that you can come in any night and you guys have, you know, four different wines you suggest if somebody wants to taste something. People can make their own little sampler thing up. They can sit there and get smaller versions of the wine so they can just kind of take their own journey. But you have special nights. How do people go and try those out?
Right. So every day we do have a flight menu that rotates weekly. And there's probably 4 to 6 different flights on that menu of 4 small tastings each. But once a month, we've been doing our wine tasting night, which is a ticketed event. So we sell 12 seats and everybody's at the party table. So it's a communal seating event and it's a presentation, right? You're getting the history of the winery and the grape and a little bit of information about the people who are producing the wine. And then obviously a food pairing with each wine. We put those up for sale on the website. We usually push it out on Instagram and Facebook as well. And through email, to our wine club members and to everybody else that's subscribed to our mailing list.
So you have a wine club too, huh?
You have a wine club.
People jump in the wine club. You know, I've been in other wine clubs that, like chains that run wine clubs, and I've never been a fan of them because I feel like I show up and I'm like in a scrum to try to get my samples, and I'm trying, like, what is your wine club? Because I don't imagine yours being as disorganized as some of the bigger names that try to run wine clubs.
Well, fortunately it's small right now, so it's easier to manage. But yeah, so what we do is we have a white club and a red club. So it's either 2 white wine bottles or 2 red wine bottles. And then what we do is we try to pick a theme. So like this month we're in Argentina. So everything we did was from Mendoza. And we actually picked everything from one winemaker, the head winemaker for Catena Zapata. And so you'll have your 2 wines. Then you get a taste of one of the wines every time you come in, half off on a food item. You get early access to all of our events.
The wine club members, when we launch our tasting of the month, they'll get that email first. And like, for March, half the tickets were gone right when that email went out.
They just come running.
They're like, we know that, like, we get to explore new stuff because all the stuff that we do for our wine tastings are not on the menu, right? And then things for the wine club are also not on the menu. So those are exclusive to wine club members. We do offer a 2 or a 6 ounce pour to dine in, but you couldn't buy a bottle of that retail. That is only if you're a wine club member.
Wow. Okay. So one of the things that I want to make sure that people understand at home, because I've been in here before and I can see how the perception could be, it's just wine, right? You have a full menu.
Yeah.
And you can drink things other than wine.
Yep.
You have a selection of craft beers in here. A lot of them are local breweries that you have. You actually even have a non-alcoholic craft beer that's in here. You have all the different options that somebody could possibly want when they come in here, and you've got a wide array of food options, whether it's you're going to sit down and have a meal. You come in, you get yourself a meal, the person you're with gets a meal, you get one big glass of wine, or you get yourself a beer and you're just having a regular meal, or you may come in here and say, we're going to get appetizers, we're going to get samples, we're going to try different things. But it's really what you make it, right?
Yeah, the idea is it can our menu set up so it can be a lot to a lot of people. So obviously we're predominantly wine, and then we have our local craft beer selection. We started carrying Miller Lite. So if you have husband or boyfriend not willing to come buy you dinner, we do have the Miller Lite that they need. So
baby, I ain't going to no fancy bar. I need a Miller Lite.
I'm ready for you.
Okay.
Still like meatballs.
You might have a friend that only drinks Black Cherry White Claw, and they can come too, because we now have the Black Cherry White Claws.
That's amazing that you're doing that too. You're like, look, we've got all these really cool things, but if you want to drink like you're drinking out of a cooler in somebody's backyard, we have that for you too.
I mean, everybody should get a chance to experience Spoken Vine, right? And it'll encourage people to bring their friends who probably would have passed because if they just think, oh, it's wine, I don't drink wine, you know, they would not think to come here. But knowing that there's other options, and then they can say, well, maybe I will. We've had a lot of people come in and be adamant that they are not wine drinkers and leave saying, wow, I found something, and buying a bottle to take home. because they liked the wine that they found so much that, you know, they're like, okay, I could do this. I could drink this at home instead of my Miller Lite or Black Cherry White Claw.
That's awesome. And I, you know, the whole concept, Spoke and Vine, is because you guys are avid bicyclists. Mm-hmm. And so there's some of that added into everything in the place. This is really your first, you know, summer, full like warm season that you're going to have the place. I know originally your envision was that there was, you know, people could bike over. Yep. And have some wine. So, like, is there anything special happening this summer? Anything that you're kind of planning? Are you still ruminating on it?
I think it's closer to ruminations than, you know, actively in the plans. I've got lots of ideas, but everything takes time to execute. So
you have so much going on. You have the wine club. What else do you have coming up that you want me to tell people about?
So Tuesday, April 16th. Tuesday is not usually a day that we're open, but we're having Mario Moro from the Emilio Moro Winery come in and do a special tasting of their wines. So we did this in February as well with two winemakers from Tuscany. So another ticketed event because it's a day that we're closed. So it'll be limited spots to come in and do a special tasting, and then we usually have their wines featured on the menu, retail purchases available for discount, you know, at a discounted rate. And then I'll do a small menu to supplement that. And then we also did like a small buffet charcuterie spread for everybody.
This place is really cool looking. I mean, how do you keep track of all these bottles behind us right now at this bar? I mean, if you take a good look at it, I mean, it's just, there's just nothing but bottles and different types of glasses here. Did you go to some training for this? How confusing was it when it started? Are you finally used to the amount of options you have for people?
I've always been used to the amount of options, and you just got to kind of live in it to know it, you know?
It's all been building. We're building, yeah. Right? We started with maybe 45 or 50, and now we're up at least 100.
Yeah, now we're starting to really turn over some of the stuff that seasonally and new releases that are coming out, things that do well, things that don't do well. And that was really one of the big ideas that we had here, was to let our wine menu be fluid so we can try new stuff. So like over the winter, we started doing a lot of stuff from Tuscany. We just kind of had a phase there. We're kind of in Argentina right now, okay. You know. Summertime is coming up, so we'll probably be rolling more into France and rosés and all of the funness of that happens. So, you know, kind of roll with it.
I mean, it should be a fun spring, fun summer here at Spoke and Vine. Do you take reservations, or do you encourage them? What do people do with that?
So you can take reservations. You can make reservations on our website. We have that option. You can also call for reservations. You don't need one. We try not to ever
just walk
the whole
into, right?
You can just walk in.
Yeah.
You know, we're a neighborhood.
If you're
place.
A bar person like me, you just walk in.
I mean, if you're just thinking like, where do we go? Like, try the new place in town.
Try the new place in town. Spoke and Vine, northeast corner of 95th and Kedzie. They really have something for everyone. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
It's the EP Podcast. All things Evergreen Park. It's the EP Podcast. Evergreen Park.